right, so before we get into the sermon, I wanted to talk to you about a bill that was passed earlier this week that I find extremely upsetting. Has anybody here heard of the Born Alive bill? You guys hear about that? So that is a bill that our government passed that says if a baby survives an abortion, we are not to save the baby. This isn't about politics. This isn't about I agree with the right or I agree with the left. This is outside of that. This has to do with life, human life. And it is upsetting to me that we have politicians that think this is okay. Because the thing is, where is it going to end? Those of us who have parents and grandparents, is it gonna go from infants to elderly? I wouldn't be surprised. Here's a little bit of what that bill says, and I just picked out some things. You can Google it and read it for yourself. But it says, if an abortion results in the live birth of an infant, the infant is a legal person. Well, yeah. An infant born alive after an abortion has the same claim to the protection of the law that would arise for any newborn. Requirements for healthcare practitioners. In the case of an abortion or attempted abortion that results in a child born alive, any healthcare practitioner present at the time the child is born alive shall exercise the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence to preserve the life and health of the child as a reasonably diligent and conscientious healthcare practitioner would render to any other child born alive at the same gestational age. And we have politicians that oversee this nation that said, nope, not a good idea. And this is upsetting to me because this is life. This is a human life that our politicians say doesn't value. That life is not valuable anymore. But we tried to get a bill passed that said it is a valuable life. So, if a baby survives an abortion, that life is to be terminated. And I've seen some testimonies that are horrific as to how that life is terminated. We don't need to get into it here. But it's horrific. It's not even humane. You wouldn't dare do this to your pet. So, and I'm not calling out politicians, but our very own senator from Ohio, Sherrod Brown, voted against this bill. So if you want to get angry for somebody, let's start with our own state. Again, this isn't about politics. This is about, this should be our social justice cry. Because just like that song we were singing, strongholds are broken down. I am convinced that this is a stronghold of a demonic stronghold that is over our government and our nation. The lack of care for human life is not right. And here's the other thing. You know, it's not up to our politicians to set the moral standards for our country. It's not up to our politicians. It's up to the churches and the pastors. And listen, I live on social media, maybe more than I should, but I don't hear any pastors in this city being vocal about this. Because we don't want to ruffle any feathers. Well, these aren't feathers being ruffled. These are lives being saved. So I just want to throw that out there so that you know where we stand and where I stand on this issue. I'm upset about it. Amen? Let's before we get started, let's pray for our nation, shall we? Lord God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would break down this stronghold that is over our government. this lack of value for human life. God, I pray that you raise up leaders who would fight against this. Not politicians, God, pastors. God, pastors in the churches of America, Lord Jesus. Give them a voice that they cannot stand by any longer and allow this kind of stuff to happen. We recognize every human life is of value. God ordains life. Jesus, I thank you for that. I pray for this nation, Lord God. I pray for laws like this that are getting shot down. And I ask, Lord God, in Jesus' name, you would raise up pastors in this nation with a voice that aren't afraid to offend people and stand up for human rights. Stand up for your creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I get that out of my system. It's upsetting, you know. So anyways, all right. So today we are in the midst of doing a sermon series called Doing Life Together. And we've been doing this series because we were created for relationships. God created life. God created human beings, mankind, to have a relationship with him and to have a relationship with others. And we started this series a few weeks back. Next Sunday, we're going to end this series. We'll do our last one. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, we'll have a surprise for you, but I'm going to keep that under wraps just yet because I don't know if it's going to happen. So, but we started this series out looking at a question that Jesus was asked. A religious leader, the religious leaders, they adhered to the laws that they had from the Old Testament scriptures. Basically, their belief system was enough good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you get to heaven. So they asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said, the greatest commandment of all, and I'll paraphrase this, is to love God with your entire being, everything you've got. And then he said, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that little interconnection there, the second is like it. I believe he was saying these aren't two different commandments. This is one. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Because basically Jesus was saying, love God, love others. Everything else hinges on that. If you have that right in your life, you love God with all your heart and you love others the same way that you love God, everything's going to fall into place. Because healthy relationships are built on love. Healthy relationships are built on love. And a healthy relationship with others is the evidence of our relationship with God. I believe that our relationship with God mirrors our relationship with people. I really do. And so, you know, when some of us hear stuff like this, the question always rises. Well, how am I supposed to love the difficult people in my life? How am I supposed to love that family member, that relative, that friend who lives a different lifestyle than I think they should live? How am I supposed to love that coworker who is just difficult to get along with? How am I supposed to love, you know, people who have a different belief system? How am I supposed to love them? Because I don't agree with their lifestyle. I don't agree with how they treat me or other people. I just don't agree with certain things about them. Well, my challenge for you today is what we will be talking about. My challenge for you is to turn that question into a statement. And the statement is this: accept people for who they are. This isn't easy. You know, I struggled with this all week preparing for this. Accept people for who they are. But if we live a life according to God's word, then that's what we have to do. Because the Bible, in the book of Romans, we'll have it up on the screen here, but I'm quoting from the New Living Translation today because I just kind of like the versions a little bit better. Romans 15, verse 7 says, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Well, there it is. That's it. Accept people for who they are. You know, if you're here today and you don't have Jesus as your Savior. You don't believe in Jesus, and you're just sitting here, and you're like, well, I don't know. A friend invited me. I felt like I should come to church. You'll get something out of this, too. And we welcome you, and we pray for you, and we thank you that you're here. For those of you that are here today, and you do believe in Jesus as your Savior, think about the time that you asked him into your life. Think about that time. Go back and think about that time. Did he say, not yet? You got a few things to work on. I don't like the way you do this. I don't even like your lifestyle choice. You got to really clean a few things up before I will allow you into my life, before I will become a part of your life and we can live together. Did he say that to anybody here? I don't think so. I'd be shocked if he did. Right? He welcomed us into his arms. He made us feel so good about life. He cleaned us off. Right? Life was exciting. Life was new. Life was full of joy. It was a fresh start. And then Jesus begins to teach you who you were created to be. You know, we weren't created to be human beings that had all these problems in life and sickness and anxiety and depression, even though we have to deal with a lot of that stuff because we live in a fallen world. But Jesus had a reason for each one of us to live. This is why I'm adamant about what I was talking about earlier. When God sees us at conception, he says, you are going to be this kind of a person. But I see your future. You're going to have a little rough start. You're going to fall away a little bit, but you're going to come back. And you're going to become the person that I created you to be. And life is fresh, and it's fun, right? But here's what this verse is saying. Do not wait for others to become the person you think they should be. You ever try to change somebody? Did it work? No, it usually doesn't. You know, we are to love others unconditionally in the same manner that Jesus loves us. We are, I believe, to look beyond the behavior of other people and see them through the eyes of Jesus. And it's not always easy. But I guarantee you something, if you try that, life will be easier on you. Because the Holy Spirit will start giving you little glimpses of things. You'll pick up on things that other person or family member says, and you'll be like, you know what? And God will start to speak to you about things, and you'll be like, oh, they have this and this going on in their lives. Oh, this happened, and that's why they're like that. Oh. And then our heart grows more fonder for them because we're starting to get a little bit of a glimpse into their hearts that nobody else sees. And in doing so, we bring glory to God. That's what the Bible is saying. What does that mean, bring glory to God? Well, it means that we show others and we accept others with the same kind of unconditional love that God has for all people. Bringing glory to God means that we represent him well. That's what that means. And this, there's a word for this. It's called grace. We are extending grace to them. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about grace a little bit. And it says, it is by grace you are saved. When we cry out to Jesus, or when we ask Jesus into our lives, it is his grace that says, I don't care who you are right now. I don't care what you're doing in your life. You are calling on to me. We're in. This is it. You and me. I will help you live a better life. I will help you do better. I know it's going to take years. I know it's going to take weeks. Wherever we're at in life. Jesus doesn't care. All he cares about is we have reached out to him and the relationship is strengthening. The relationship is beginning. And then he will teach us how to live according to his word. That's what grace is. We can't earn God's favor. There are all kinds of belief systems out there and religions, and even prior to Jesus, it was good deeds outweighing bad deeds. Whew, good thing I'm getting into heaven, I think. But there's no way any of us could go through life trying. I mean, you drive yourself crazy. Your bad deeds are always going to outweigh your good deeds. I don't care who you are. Just, we're human beings. It's who we are. But Jesus extends his love to us unconditionally and gives us his all the moment we say, I want to follow you. I want you in my life. And in turn, God expects us to accept others in that same manner. He says, listen, I love you unconditionally, but I would like for you to love others unconditionally. Because in doing so, you're representing me, and people will see me in you. You know, a little bit further in Ephesians in chapter 4, it says, chapter 4, verse 32, says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So that's kind of taking it another step. We can accept people for who they are. I can deal with that. All right. Whew. I can work on that. But now we got to forgive them just as God has forgiven us. That is extending the love of Christ to people. You see, when a non-believer sees a believer accepting all people for who they are, the heart of God is revealed, and they will see God at work. That's what that's all about. How will they know they will see God at work? How are they going to know? It's very simple. It is not within our human nature to be nice to somebody who's not nice to us. Right? It's not within our human nature. I mean, somebody rubs me wrong, I want to rub them wrong, I want to just... Ah. But if we can get past that, say, you know what? I'm not going to let it get to me. Doesn't matter. I'm going to accept them for who they are. And if I can love them and hang out with them, all the more better. But that's how they're going to know, because it's not within human nature to be nice to somebody who's not nice, to be friends with somebody who we don't agree with. If we really want to bring honor to God, we need to accept others in the same way Jesus accepts us. That will bring him honor. Listen, there are a lot of hurting people in the world. People who don't feel accepted, people who feel disconnected, feel rejected. And if we could show them the respect and the love that they deserve as a human being, we are showing them the heart of God. We are showing them the love that Jesus has for them. And what we are doing is, we are telling them that they are valued. They are loved. They should be accepted. They shouldn't be disconnected. They should be given the same kind of value that Jesus gives us. Because that's what we are saying to them. When we look beyond who they are and we accept them the same way Jesus accepts us, we are telling them that they are valued. And by the way, I do not want to confuse extending grace and acceptance of all people for condoning sinful behavior. Okay? We don't condone sinful behavior. But here's something that we must understand. People who don't know the Bible don't know they're doing things that we disapprove of. Right? People who say, Jesus, I want you in my life, have the Holy Spirit now comes and lives within you. People who haven't accepted Jesus in their life has the Holy Spirit all around them, but not in their hearts to teach them the ways of God. That's what we're here for. And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, was challenged in this area. The religious leaders brought to him a lady who was caught in the act of adultery. And by the way, before we get into this story, there's a big missing piece to this that really bothers me. The religious leaders brought the lady. Where was the guy? right? Either he ran faster or they gave him a pass. I don't know. But he's not in the story. So that kind of bothers me, but at any rate. So here comes Jesus, and he's preaching a message of love and acceptance, and he's loving all kinds of people. And so they bring him this lady, and they say, what do you do with her? Well, what does he do with her? If he handles it with all truth, nothing but truth, the law said she should be stoned to death. Well, there goes his message of love, right? That's out the window, because you can't say she should be stoned to death and then tell everybody that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But if he goes all grace, well, according to the Jewish Mosaic law, which they believed in at the time, well, then that means he's breaking their law and he's condoning her sinful behavior. And so there's hundreds of sermons on this topic, you know, because then it says he stooped down and he started drawing in the sand, writing in the sand. Pastor Dave preached on this years ago. I really like his version of it. And I, honestly, this might be what happened. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we can ask him. I think he was stalling. I think he was saying, okay, God, what am I supposed to do here? Just Mickey Mouse ears and help me out. I need something. And then he says, who among you is without sin? Go ahead and cast the first stone. Well, one by one, they all started leaving. And he says to the lady, I love the last line of this story. He says, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? She says, there are none. You know what he said? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see, he didn't condone her behavior. He forgave her. He showed her value and respect, but he said, don't do this again. And so that's a story that kind of helps me out when it comes to grace and hanging out with people and accepting them for who they are, but not condoning their behavior. You know, many of us are caught in this same dilemma when we're hanging out with other people, right? Because we feel compelled to tell them, you shouldn't be doing that. And you shouldn't be doing that. And you shouldn't be doing that. And that lifestyle is wrong. And I can't stand you. And right? But if we follow the example of Jesus, read the Gospels and find out how he related to other people. The religious leaders called him a drunkard because he was hanging out with people who were drinking. If he was here today, he would be hanging out in the bars, he would be hanging out with the drug addicts, he would be over there with the homeless. And I wonder if we would recognize him, because he accepted people for who they were and who they are. And that's what the religious leaders had a hard time with. You know, and I think if we try to follow this approach, if we want to see more people into the kingdom of God, this is the best approach. What's that saying is, you catch more bees with honey. I mean, who's going to listen to you more? The person who you're pointing your finger at, or the person you're hanging out with, becoming friends with, and then you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're like, hey, you know what? You know, we've been friends for a while, and I'm just wondering if maybe that's the right thing to be doing. Or you invite them to church, and they come to church, and, you know, conversation flows a lot more easier when there's love and acceptance involved. We can love people, and we can hang out with people all the while not agreeing with them, if we accept them for who they are. You know, I would much rather be friends with somebody and hang out with them and pray about the opportunity to share my faith in Christ with them when it arises, as opposed to saying, hey, hi, my name's Chip. Yeah, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, you know what? You shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. Who's going to listen to me more? And I think if we approach relationships and other people in that manner, we will be extending the heart of God to them. You know, Jesus never condoned that lady's sin. And he accepted her for who she was. Again, I love the last line of that story. He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." As a matter of fact, all throughout the Gospels, that's what he says, especially when he healed people. He said, "Go and sin no more." There's another story where he healed a guy, and he felt bad because he got the guy in a bunch of trouble with the religious leaders, and then it says he went and he found the guy. And he says, "You know, hey," they had a conversation. He's like, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the guy's like, "I don't know, who is he?" And he's like, "You're standing, it's me." But he told the guy, "Listen," and it's just, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm doing this from memory, but he said, "Listen, you better stop what you're doing or things won't end well for you." So Jesus didn't condone people's behavior, but he did love on them and accept them for who they are. And so here's my paraphrase to what he said to this lady. He said he accepted her for who she was, flaws and all. Did she do something wrong? You better believe it. Very wrong. But he says to her, "I value you. You are important to me. I love you. I forgive you. And listen, stop doing that. Don't do that again." So that's kind of, you know, and this is how truth and grace work together. You know, truth is hard. That's why we have the saying, the truth hurts. Truth is black and white. Grace is big gray area, right? And some people abuse grace. Some Christians abuse grace. They're like, "Well, I'm, you know, I can do what I want." Well, not really, but truth and grace, and then we'll add a little wisdom in there. That's following the example that Jesus set for us. And I think too many times we get this wrong because we feel compelled to tell people, that's not the way you should be living. And the people that we tell that to are generally non-believers. And we don't understand why they look at us like you're judging me, you're old-fashioned, you're a bigot, you're a Christian, you believe this Bible book. We gotta accept people for who they are, become friends with them, and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. And use some wisdom in when to speak to them about things. You know, I also like to take Jesus's approach. When I'm hanging out with somebody who's a non-believer and we're just hanging out, and, you know, a lot of times when Jesus started his parables and his stories, he said, "The kingdom of God is like this." And I picture it like this. He's sitting around a bunch of people and they're drinking, they're partying, and they're doing whatever. And then a spiritual conversation arises, right? Because everybody knows everything, right? And then he said, "You know what? That reminds me a story about the kingdom of God." And then he just told him a story. And I think in doing so, he used truth and grace with some wisdom to show the heart of God that he has for people, the unconditional love that God has for his creation, mankind. And you know what? That's not always easy. Because it's timing, it's wisdom, it's using the right words, it's using the right approach. But if we just start with accepting people for who they are, if you just say today, "God, help me just accept people for who they are," I believe he will honor that, and then he will start to begin to speak to you about how to approach people. I really believe that with all my heart. So it all comes down to the fact that Jesus loves and accepts all people. And he gives us that example to follow. Amen? So in closing here, healthy relationships are based on love. They're based on accepting people for who they are, not who we think they should be. If God accepts us based on grace, then we should accept others based on grace. God loves us unconditionally. Even when we don't deserve it, he loves us unconditionally. He says, just let me help you with that. So we should extend that same unconditional love to others. And I believe that by showing people the respect and the value that they deserve, we are displaying the heart of God. And that is the unconditional love that he has for every single person on this earth. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I just thank you so much. I thank you, God, for your love. I thank you for your word, God, that shows us how to live our lives, that teaches us how to treat other people. And it's not easy. We're human beings. We are complicated. But if we can just see past that, treat people with respect, treat them with value, honor them, love them, we will be honoring you, God, and we will be displaying the love that you have for other people through our actions. So I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 At this time, we'll have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. And I just felt like there's a couple different people that the Lord wants to speak out to today. The first is, some of you are here and you've been hurt. And these kinds of messages you have a hard time with because people didn't accept you for who you were. So why should you accept others for who they are? And I want you to know right now that God wants to heal those hurts. But here's the thing. You got to let them know where you're at. I'm going to ask you here in a minute to raise your hand. Let me know where you're at. But what you're doing by raising your hand is you are saying, no longer will I allow those feelings and those things from the past to have a hold on me. And you are making a public declaration to allow the Lord to heal those hurts. So does that speak to anybody here? Does that speak to anybody here? I see your hands. Amen. Amen. There's two hands over here. Anybody else? Here's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. People, we are hurting people. There's a hand. Amen. All kinds of hands. Lift your hands up. God wants to heal those hurts today. Amen. Don't walk out of here today not getting the healing prayer that God wants to give you. Hold your hands up high. Let me see your hands. You are making a public declaration right now saying, no longer am I going to allow the hurts from the past to determine my future and the relationships around me. Amen. I want to pray for you right now. Lord God, I thank you for those hands that are raised. And I know, Lord, it takes guts to do that. It takes courage. It's not easy. And so I just want each one of you to know that I thank you, and I will pray for every hand raised represented here today in the weeks to come. But God, I ask right now that you would bring supernatural healing to each one of those people, God, in the area that they need it in when it comes to relationships. Bless them, Jesus. Bless them, God. Bring the joy back into their lives when it comes to relationships, Lord. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for raising your hand. And I pray God blesses you immensely. And also, we will have back at the Next Step table, we will have people, if you would like to get some additional prayer for that, or maybe just talk to somebody. A lot of times that helps just kind of just get all that stuff out. So another group of people I touched on it in the sermon. You're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. But Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. And Jesus doesn't care what you've done in the past. He doesn't care where you are right now in life. He accepts each one of us for who we are, and he would like to start a relationship with you if you're ready. So if I'm speaking to anybody here for that, if you would like to start a relationship with Jesus today, can I see your hands? Can just show me a hand. Anybody here today that would like to start a relationship with Jesus today? Amen, brother. Amen. Right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me see your hands. Hold them up high so I can see them. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else want to start a relationship with Jesus today? I promise you, your life will be changed, and it will be an adventure. You know? Amen. Over here? Amen. All right. Anybody else? Today could be a fresh new day. Got one over here? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I see three hands, four hands in the back. Amen. Woo. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to say a prayer. And then for those of you that raised your hands, you know, we have people in the back at the Next Step table. They've got just a little information for you that will help you begin your journey with Christ. But let's say a prayer. Church, join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for accepting me for who I am. And I ask you to come into my life. Show me the adventure that I have waiting for me. Help me, Jesus. Become the person that you created me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I bless that. I bless that. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to sing one more song. We'll